Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Tracy Lee, who is a psychic surgeon and distant healer for people and pets who treats any condition, emotional or physical, from any distance. Today, our topic is breaking free from duality. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring on my co-host, Tracy Lee. Hi, Tracy. How you doing?
Happy Monday, everybody. Hi, Al. How are you?
Fantastic. Boy, I love your new phone. I love the way you sound on your new phone.
Thank you. Yes, everything has been upgraded slowly in my life, so it's nice to have the brand new iPhone 6 Plus, all static-free and easy to use and reliable.
Yeah, a huge difference, so congratulations. So how's everything in your world? What's going on?
Oh, my world is wonderful. As a lot of people know, big change in my life. I moved to Katy, Texas, which is about 140 miles due east of where I was before, and it's in a little kind of country community here with a duck pond and super quiet, so a little change of pace for me, but I'm really digging it.
Right on. Congratulations. So breaking free from duality. What is duality? Okay, so for the listeners that don't understand, what is duality?
Well, duality, and I'm going to just give my definition. Duality can be defined as a sharp contrast or a sharp divide between two aspects of a topic. For example, in the spiritual community, people refer to light and dark. You know, in the world of marriage, people refer to, you know, married or divorce. So duality refers to a situation where it's, you know, it's a binary situation. It's a one or zero. You're either in or out. This idea of completely contrasting and opposite situations or concepts, to describe a situation.
So I'm going to bring up this example, and again, I'm just trying to get clear here for the audience. So are you talking like hot and cold type of scenario?
Well, sure. So like hot and cold would be a duality that would describe temperature. So, and that's a really good example, actually. Of course, we're going to get crazy deep into this really fast, because when you say what temperature is it, if you say, you know, if you're in a dualistic nature, you would say it's hot or cold. But we all know that there's, you know, there's lukewarm, there's warm, there's freezing cold, there's scalding hot. And so, you know, this is a perfect example of how labeling things in a dualistic nature can be very dangerous.
Now, what's the difference between duality and polarity?
Polarity, in my opinion, would describe exact opposite end of a spectrum. And so, like, you know, if we go back to the temperature example, you know, we would say burning hot or freezing cold would be two polar opposites. And you hear the word polar opposite to describe people like, oh, there's polar opposite. She's a businesswoman and he's a hippie type of thing. Whereas duality,
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to finish by saying, whereas duality would be just, categorizing a group into two groups based on a one or a zero, whereas polarity describes two separate ends of a spectrum.
Interesting. So I'm going to jump in here in the sense of feelings and emotions. I know as we go through life, we have these feelings and emotions, and for the quote unquote gurus out there, they indicate that, you know, that's duality, and you get to choose, you know, whether those emotions or feelings are real or duality. How in the world does a person that's going through an experience decipher whether or not it's duality? And if it is, this is our topic, how do you break free from that?
Well, I think with emotions, we get into danger when we start saying this is a good emotion, this is a bad emotion, or this is a healthy emotion, or this is an unhealthy emotion, or this is a toxic behavior, or this is a non-toxic behavior. And by judging and by placing labels on thoughts and emotions, you know, we shut ourselves off to so many different alternatives as opposed to just accepting what is and dealing with it. We try to put ourselves fit ourselves into these boxes that, unfortunately and realistically, we just, most of us do not fit into.
You know, and for me, from my personal experiences, and by no means, I'm human, and by no means am I able to do this 100% of the time. So, but I've noticed that when I have become detached from an emotion, I mean, I acknowledge the emotion, and once I've acknowledged it and did whatever I had to do to feel the experience of that emotion, then I detach myself from that emotion, that duality no longer exists, that I'm able to just observe the experience or the emotion.
Yay.
Rather than be within that emotion. But I'd be lying to you if I said it was easy, but I know that it does work. How?
That's beautiful.
That takes practice. Is there a simple
yes.
way where you can do that? Because it's not easy. I'm being honest, not easy. I mean, we are programmed or trained from an early age to live in the emotion, in that feeling. And to step away from it and observe it, it's not an easy thing to do.
So I want to try to say this really slowly, but when we attach to emotions, and we've talked about this several times, we're attaching to judgments of the way that we perceive that things should be or should not be, based on standards that either maybe we set for ourselves or that society has set for us, as opposed to just taking each situation for what it is, like you said. So when you learn to detach from these expectations and from these judgments of what should be or how things should be, that is when we begin to break free of this dualistic categorization of good or bad or toxic or non-toxic, et cetera.
You know what? And as I'm listening to you, Tracy, right now, so there's a saying out there that life will keep recycling to you whatever it is you're supposed to learn or whatever.
Oh,
so my question to you is, if we keep dealing with pain, supposed pain, and in any form. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be whatever. You know, you just keep re-experiencing hurt or whatever, disappointment. And you keep re-experiencing. Is that life telling us, hey, wake up? You're looking at life in a dual perspective. Wake up, because if you don't wake up, you're going to keep re-experiencing this kind of stuff.
I agree 1,000% with that statement, because life will keep recycling the same lessons and keep bringing the same types of people into your life until you break free of that dualistic categorization of even how to respond or what to do, because not every situation and not every person can be dealt with the same. So you can't just say, okay, because this happened back in 2013 and I did this and that worked. You can't just, you know, cut and paste that response and reaction to a completely different person or situation and expect the exact same result, because every person and every situation is unique. And that's what breaking free of duality is really all about.
So it sounds like you're saying that we should, and everybody says this, but it sounds like you're saying we should be in the moment, and instead of judging that moment to any of the prior moment, look at that moment for its uniqueness and deal with it in that unique manner. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. We're on the exact same page today.
Cool. So, all right. So, okay. So let's help our audience here who's listening to us. How do we evolve, or how do we get to the point that we're talking about? How does a human being that's been raised to live in duality, to live, and we're not just talking about emotions and feelings here, even though that's the predominant conversation right now, but from any perspective, living in duality through judgment, through emotion, through feeling, through perspective, perceptions, whatever, how do we get to the point that we get to break free from that? Well, how did you break free?
Well, I would say the absolute first step would be to recognize that you're doing it, and to recognize how you're acting, and to recognize the judgments that you're placing on people, places, things, and situations. and to recognize the fact that, you know, for example, this is a really great example. Oh, like, you know, she's pregnant before they got married, type of thing. You know, that's not good because you're supposed to get married then have the child. And I know these are old standards, but just, you know, taking an example, a dualistic approach would say, okay, this is the traditional way, and they're outside of that, so there must be something wrong with them. Where looking at the situation, who knows what could have happened? You know, there could be a million zillion situations that could have led to those circumstances. So learning to recognize that you're trying to impart, dualistic categorizations, and recognizing that you're doing it is really the first step. Because if you don't recognize, you know, how, when, and where you're doing it, then there's no way that you can stop doing it.
Okay, so, all right, so, and I'm going to use the educational system that we have. So, and through the educational system, and even with our parents, perhaps, we are shown at a very early age to judge an experience. And judge the experience and then move forward. You know, so look at the experience, judge it, and then make a decision and move forward, or do whatever it is you're going to decide to do or whatever. And for most people, that's normal. You judge something or you perceive something, and that's normal. How's a person that's not, quote-unquote, awake ever going to realize that judging or perceiving is duality? They're going to say, this is normal. I've done this all my life.
I would like to say that it should start, you know, in the families, you know, in the homes with parents, with their kids. You know, parents teaching their kids that, hey, there are many ways to skin a cat. This may be the way that this family does it, or, you know, most people might allow their kids to walk to school, but we're going to have another alternative where, you know, we drive you halfway and we let you walk the second half. I mean, there's, you know, teaching your kids that there's so many different ways to skin a cat, so to speak, and there's so many different alternatives, and there's and that just because something is different doesn't mean that it's wrong. And I think that's a really key point that we need to focus it on.
Oh, I totally agree. One of the things I do with my clients and my audience is dare to be different. And I know that's not an easy thing to do, but that's where you find your happiness. That's where you find your joy, your peace, and your love, is when you're being different instead of following the crowd, or going back to what we're talking about, you know, judging others or experiences just because they don't fit in to what about being different. I know I'm getting off topic here, but so I'm going to use myself as an example, Tracy. So I realized, and I was blessed to realize in my early 40s that how I was living was not good for me. It was very painful. I was on a roller coaster ride. And it was, a lot of it was ego-driven. And part of the ego is some of the things I accepted growing up, you know, and living in a dualistic nature. And when I started to wake up, I started realizing, God, this is crazy. You know, no wonder I was on a roller coaster ride. And a lot of humanity is on a roller coaster ride. They go through these up and downs, you know, and it creates, quote-unquote, suffering because they get tired of it. You know, and they don't like living that way. I don't understand. So what I guess the reason I'm bringing all that up is I don't understand why humanity hasn't woken up and said, enough already. You know, there has to be a better way.
Yeah, I mean, and that's such, I don't even know how to respond because it's such a broad array of topics and conversations that can be brought up. And I'm not sure which direction to go with that. But obviously, we have a global economy and of politics and currency and standards for living and standards for trade. And so, you know, we have to earn money and we have to pay for things and we have to some extent, we have to partake in this system. But there's other ways in which we need to find ways to break free of it and to feel free to express ourselves as individuals. And really, it's all about finding that perfect balance of, okay, I'm not just going to be a complete, you know, like mountain woman and just, you know, burn all my money and belongings and just like go live in the middle of the forest. But, you know, somewhere in between there where it's, you know, I'm not doing this, everything the same as everybody else, but I'm being me, but I'm also, you know, interacting with other human beings and fitting into the world and making a contribution, you know, to others. It's hard to find that balance.
What is the difference in your life compared to what it once was since you have broken free from duality?
I mean, I was raised, you know, and I love my family. I love my parents, but I was raised in a family, you know, in a pretty well-off family, and I went to a private school, and, you know, there were standards of like what kind of purse you carried and what brand you wore, and, you know, and if you, you know, it was kind of like if you didn't have this brand, then you were categorized as being poor, and then, you know, what does it mean to be poor? It means that, you know, you don't have money, and that means that you're somehow lesser than everybody else. And so obviously that gets programmed in your brain after so many years. Then you look at somebody that isn't dressed in a certain way and you think, oh, they're poor. They must not be educated. They must not, you know, they must not be up to par or worthy. And it took time for me to deprogram myself and to look, you know, beyond what people look like on the outside and look through their eyes and look deep into their soul, into their character to get to know people. Because like I said, we're all programmed in a certain way from, like you said, when we grow up. And really, we talk about this every week. When I started to love myself, I realized that, you know, we don't need to judge other people, and we need to let people be themselves and let people develop into their own unique individual characteristics and who they are without placing judgment on them. And like I said before, it all starts with that self-love.
And once you started to grasp and understand and live in this manner, I bet you, I'm willing to bet that your level of happiness grew exponentially.
It really did, because even on the spiritual path where there's a lot of people that, you know, oh, like I'm part of the light faction, or like he's part of the dark, and, you know, if you do X, Y, Z, then that means you have darkness around you. And really, you know, it's just like that movie, that title, 50 Shades of Grey. You know, this has nothing to do with the actual subject of the movie, but I like the 50 shades of, because there are so many different shades of gray between light and dark, between one and zero, between, you know, white and black. And it's not just a matter of, you know, sending you love and light, you know, into the darkness. It's about finding a balance and learning to, you know, walk through and past darkness and acknowledge it, and being able to be a part of the light and find that balance so that you can kind of reach into both worlds when you need to.
I hear you, and I totally agree. And for the audience, I'm just going to interrupt here for a moment. For the audience, do a search on us on Facebook for Human Odyssey Radio. And if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments, please do. You know, you can ask Tracy or myself, and if any questions, thoughts, or comments, or any topics that you would like for us to speak on, the radio show is here for you to listen. I just put the link on the chat room, so if you have any questions, thoughts, or comments in the chat room, please do ask, and I'll relay them over to Tracy. And if you want to call in, the number is 713-955-0561. Okay, so Tracy, we talked about recognizing the fact that you're living in a dualistic nature of being, for lack of better words. And then once you recognize it, then what do you do next?
Well, you recognize it, you acknowledge it, and then you start to think before you speak and think before you act, because we're so pre-programmed to respond and react in certain ways when we see certain things. So we really need to take the time to slow ourselves down and say, am I responding because of pre-programming, or am I responding because I've really taken the time to evaluate this situation for what it is?
Okay, and I'm in 100% agreement now. So because we have been pre-programmed, because it runs through our DNA, and there's multi levels of looking at this. You can look about, you know, the influence of your ancestors, the influence of your DNA, the influence of your upbringing, the influence of society, the influence of the media, the influence of your peers, your friends, your religious institutions, the education institutions, your job. I mean, for us to stop in a moment And instead of reacting to a scenario instantly and taking a moment to respond, observe and respond, that's a lot of work. I know it was.
It's
for
a
me.
Lot of work.
I mean,
it's tiresome.
Is there a simple way to do this, or you just have to put in the work?
You have to put in the work. There is no simple way to do it, but this is, I call myself freedom architect, and this is part of freeing yourself from the shackles that bind you to the prisons that society creates for us, is releasing, the shackles of judgment. And really the only expectations that we should set, in my opinion, are the expectations we have for ourselves. And we should allow everyone else the freedom to do the same. So me, Tracy, I have the right to set expectations for how I want to be. Al, you have the right to set your own expectations for how you should be. And, your friend or whoever has the right to set the expectations for them. So if everyone is just taking care of their own expectations, we don't have to outwardly project expectations on others. And it's a little utopian, the way it sounds, but it would never work 100%, obviously, because we're humans and we interact with each other, but you understand the concept anyway.
Right. Right. And for the audience, and based on what Tracy just said, if you're tired of the roller coaster, if you've had enough of it not working, if you want a different lifestyle, and if I asked Tracy, has it raised her level of happiness? And she said, yes. If you want to be happier and more joyful, then you have to put in the work. And by no means am I telling you it's easy, because it's not. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. It's worth it to take the time and as many say, be in the moment and observe what's going on rather than judging it.
And, I posted over the weekend on Facebook, and this is a public post too, if anybody wants to find it on Facebook. I'm The Tracy Lee, my personal page, T-H-E Tracy Lee. Because a lot of people have asked me, like, how did you turn your life around so quickly? Like, how did you attract like so much abundance and so much good luck and so much happiness in such a short amount of time? And it really happened when I realized that, like, it's like the poem Invictus, that I am the captain of my soul and I'm responsible for everything that comes into my life, even the stuff that other people have done to me, supposedly, or stuff that some people would label as bad luck. And we begin to set our own expectations and take the reins over our own life and realize that we are the creators of creation. We create what is around us. And you start to turn that around and think, I can do something positive with this. I don't have to keep creating, drama and negativity and heartache and pain. I can use this power to create something, health, wealth, and abundance. And when you realize that you do have that power, things will change very quickly, and they do.
It's interesting, and thank you for sharing, because what you have done is you have shifted You have shifted the experience that you went through a few years ago and evolved from that and made something good out of it. It kind of like opened your eyes and your heart and your mind to other possibilities, even though it took work. And now, because you have shifted that experience to benefit you rather than bring you down, you're experiencing all this goodness in your life. Am I correct?
Right, and that again it's a way of breaking out of duality also, because as opposed to looking at something as good or bad, it just is. It happened. And it had a purpose. And, when you shift from being a victim, because I refuse to be called a victim of any kind of abuse or theft. I'm not a victim. I created everything when you can truly take responsibility for creating everything on the nasty spectrum of things, then you can really take credit for the more beautiful creations that manifest later. But you have to be willing to take the responsibility for the ugly stuff before you can take the credit for the great stuff.
Yeah, that's another key. Taking responsibility for everything, actually. Everything that happens, you have to be responsible or accountable that it's happening to you and perhaps even for you. And link it to the fact that you get to either recreate or create something new based on whatever you desire to have in life.
Absolutely. And that just all goes back to what we were talking about with, we have to just accept that we're responsible only for creating our expectations. We can't make someone expect to do better for their life. Like if you have a friend, oh, why isn't he doing better? Like, why are his expectations so low? I can't change someone else's expectations. That's not my place. That person has to take the reins of their own expectations and manifest greatness into their life. We have to all take personal responsibility and accountability for our own manifestations, whether they're, positive, hurtful, beneficial. I'm not going to say good and bad because we're trying to break free from duality, but taking the reins over our own creation and allowing others to do the same and not overstepping those boundaries.
What if I want to, this is kind of a weird question. I'm going to throw this in there because I've dealt with it. So what if you're in a relationship or you have a family member or a friend that's quote unquote very needy, and now you're functioning in this new way of being, and you, to them you come across as being cold. How do you deal with that?
Well, and it just depends on which way they're needy, whether it's, financial or, and it also depends if you have a substance abuse issue and you're, becoming what people call an enabler. And I hate labels. You know that, Al. I don't like using words like that. But every situation is unique. And you have to not judge what you're doing based on how society would judge it, but what's right for you? Do you feel like you've done too much? Do you feel like if you keep helping them that they're, that it's going to improve their life? You have to evaluate each situation independently and not be influenced by, by standards that are set by external, people or institutions.
You just brought up another, and we got a couple minutes, but I want to address this. So if we're stepping away from dualistic nature, and we're both in agreement that that's freedom when we do that, how do you know, without judging, how to help or support another person?
That's a really great question. And I would say that you have to look within yourself and follow your own intuition and do what you think is right. Like, some people would say, like, I've helped people and I've done crazy things to help people out to where the point where someone would say, that's too much, like, you're overstepping. But that's not for anyone else to judge. But there have also been situations where I've cut the cord where people are like, wow, that's really harsh. But it's nobody's place to judge how I respond or how anyone responds to helping another individual. You have to look at the situation uniquely and you have to see how it's affecting your personal expectations and your happiness and your ability to reach your personal expectations. And I would say that if it starts to infringe on those and have an effect to where, it's hindering your progress, then maybe you should consider pulling back. But again, I'm not one to judge.
Great stuff, Tracy. I really love this show. I believe that we both shared a lot of wisdom and great stuff. And again, Tracy Lee, my co-host, wonderful co-host, and she has her website at zetahealing.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have a life you truly desire. You can email me at al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember that every Monday at 10 a.m., listen to us and tell others. You can also listen to the recording at any time. Thank you all for joining us. Remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Tracy, pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for being
always
here.
Peace and love, everyone. Thank you all.
Have a great day.
Same to you. Take care, everyone.